We'll now move to agenda item four. Obviously, we're running behind here, but and some of that we'll make up with a quick lunch.
Good morning, Chair Imason, members of the board, State Forester Doherty. My name is Josh Bernard, and I serve as the Field Support Unit Manager for Private Forests. Joining me today is Jennifer Weichel, our division biologist. Today we'll provide a reminder of how we got here and what is required by the Division 680 rules for analysis and a summary of edits to the tech report based on the feedback we received from the expert review group. And then the board will have the opportunity to accept or reject the technical report. Here's a quick reminder of where we've been and where we're at currently in the rule analysis process. The process started with a petition submitted to the board in June 2016. Followed by board direction to begin rule analysis. And we're at the bottom of the slide today with the final technical report, April 2019. Now I'll turn it over to Jennifer to run through the rule analysis requirements and the tech report edits.
Thank you, Josh. So as a reminder, the Division 680 rules describe the process that the board must follow when considering a new species for consideration for development of rules under the Forest Practices Act, Division 665. For species on state or federal ESA list, the Division 680 rules specify that a technical report must be submitted to the board that addresses the following topics: identify the resource sites used by the species, identify the forest practices that conflict with those sites, evaluate the biological consequences of those conflicts, and propose protection requirements. And then following that, an expert review of the technical report must be undertaken and the results presented to the board. So following the expert review, the board must make a decision to accept or reject the technical report, and that's where we're at today. And then following this decision, just as a hint of work to come, the Division 680 rules specify that the board must make its own determinations for the criteria, that being the resource sites, the conflicts, the protection requirements, and then exceptions, appropriate exceptions for those requirements. The Division 680 rules direct the board to adopt protection requirements and exception criteria for resource sites used by the threatened or endangered species being considered. So if you remember, we presented the draft technical report to you in April of last year, and the report contained the information on the general ecology and life history of marble murrelets and habitat use, along with other information. It also addressed those four required components and a range of options or possible options were presented for the definition of the resource site and for the protection requirement. The department initiated the expert review of the technical report by a group of experts. The experts were chosen to represent a range of backgrounds and perspectives, including research and academia, conservation interests, forestry interests, local government, and tribal representation. The desired outcome of that review was that in the end, we would have a well-rounded, unbiased summary of the science to help inform your decision-making process. The reviewers were asked to review the science used in the report, and we asked them specifically to identify any missing information, to review our interpretation of the science for accuracy, and to address the scientific merits of those policy options. So again, as a reminder, we presented the outcome of the expert review to you last November. We heard recommendations to add many citations to the report. No major missing topics were identified, and a range of comments were heard on the scientific merits of the various policy options for the resource site and protection. So we've now completed the final version of the technical report, and that is what you have in front of you in your packets. The expert review was very helpful. We want to thank our reviewers for their input. As a summary of the changes that we made since the draft version, many edits were made to the report, including the addition of over 20 new citations. Most of those citations were related to existing content in the report, but we did include a handful of new or missing studies that were identified, so that represents new text in the report. In addition, we heard from the reviewers that we should cite the original studies and not other review publications, so those corrections have been made. And also new is the addition of a few new facts from the presentation you heard at your last meeting from the OSU research study, and that's mainly an update to the number of known nests for the species. So other major edits include an update to the marble murrelet population trend section, a summary of the 2004 population viability analysis, which was conducted by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as part of their ESA review, a summary of how we currently implement the FPA protection is also included. So of notes, I want to mention that we, since this report was made final and given to the board and made public, we just received the latest update of the MERLET population trend information just last week. That's not reflected in the report, but we have taken a look at that, and there's no major significant changes or trajectories in the trends from what's represented in the report.
So any questions so far on that? Okay. So just as a reminder, the decision today is about accepting or rejecting the technical report is complete. Accepting the report is complete does not preclude us from bringing other new information later to help inform your decision-making process. Any questions about that? Yep. I thought we would place the staff recommendation up there and then for both the public comment and your discussion. So the recommendation is, staff recommendation is that you accept the final MERLET technical report as final and complete.
Just a question, maybe I'm not understanding the intent of the section entitled Technical Report Required Content for Rule Analysis. That's the last section of the report. Everything previous to that is really well done, I thought. And I think that it's really summarizes the literature well. But from that point on, there are a lot of recommendations, but there are very, very few references to support the recommendations. And was that intended, or is that just assumed that the previous information would be carried forward? I was trying to understand why there was such a lack of references there.
I think the previous section provides the background for that. But also for at least the two sections where we have the range of policy options, we were envisioning that there would be future work on that, depending on what the board direction would be.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of that.
So future work to flesh out some of those okay. options, depending on which direction. So some of that may be fleshed out in the future.
Thank you.
Could you, just so that we understand the context within which this decision is being made, let us know what next steps are? If we do decide to accept the final report.
I can jump ahead and share that if you would like to hear that. As noted earlier, we were kind of at the bottom of the original checklist that was developed for this. So pending your direction today, we would need to regroup and take a look at developing a plan for that next phase. As noted, there's several pieces here. We would need to frame up what the next set of decisions look like. And then establish a process for decision-making around that. So such things as we've heard some feedback through the process of either making some of these decisions around the resource site and associated protection strategies as either single decisions or as a package. And I've heard varying input on that. So that would be what some of the things we'd like to bring back. And then also, how would you like to see us work with stakeholders in this process? There's many different ways we can interface and different timings that go with that that bring different workload and considerations for us. So, you know, pending your decision today and any comments you might have, we would leave here with the idea we'd be planning that process and bring something draft back to you all to review and provide input.
And then could you tell us next steps if we decide today not to accept the technical report?
That would be based on the content of that decision.
All right. We'll now go to public comment. We have six people who have signed up. So we'll take them three at a time. Nick Cady, Joseph Huron, and Seth Barnes. And we're going to need to ask you to be concise in your comments. And we're going to have a clock running here that will help you. I think we have a little more time than that so we'll do 4 minutes per person. That seemed fair. Okay, thank you. If you can do it more quickly, we appreciate that.
Hello again. My name is Nick Cady. I'm the legal director of Cascadia Wildlands. I wanted to touch briefly on the technical report, and I wanted to thank the department and the expert reviewers for all the great work that they did on that. The specific piece that I wanted to touch on surrounds the next steps and the questions that were kind of raised about that in the technical report. And after reviewing it, it seems like there was a lot of remaining issues for the board to decide and based on kind of complicated biological needs. And I feel like that part of the technical report got unnecessarily complicated. And I wanted to offer the board kind of a way out of all of these hard decisions. And I think the technical report somewhat skirted the easiest and most direct way to address the marbled MERLET all the questions of suitable habitat and surveys and management implication. And that is simply applying the Pacific Seabird Group protocol. So the Pacific Seabird Group is a group of professional biologists, land managers, and industry representatives. And it's solely focused on the marbled murrelet and coming up with scientifically best available science recommendations for how to manage forests that contain marbled murrelets. And these approaches are used by everyone else, every state federal land manager. If you hire a private company to do marbled murrelet surveys, they apply the PSG protocol. And so I feel like why that part of the technical report got so wonky is they were trying to somehow dodge the Pacific Seabird Group protocol application when it makes the most sense and is the simplest approach for this board moving forward. The other reason why just simply applying the PSG protocol would be great for this board is you guys would never have to revisit the murrelet issue again, because the Pacific Seabird Group regularly updates its protocol to reflect emerging science with the species. Granted, the species was relatively recently not discovered, but studied in depth because they had a hard time discovering nests and things that based on the biology that's in the technical report. And so I would ask this board to direct the department as moving forward with the marbled murrelet to simply develop rules to apply the PSG protocol to both identify sites and management locations too. Thank you.
Joseph Yoren, Audubon Society of Lincoln City. In the interest of time, I'll skip the first two pages of my testimony, which Nick pretty much summarized. So we simply agree that we believe it would be easy, appropriate, and defensible for the board to accept option number 3, as it's described in the report, which is entitled Presumed Occupied Habitat, and to accept the PSG survey as your way of accomplishing that. And if you do that, then you can avoid all of the problems in the future. Adaptive management gets a lot of airtime coming from staff. Here's a chance to actually get ahead of the curve and preserve the habitat and adapt as you learn more, as opposed to coming back time and time again, trying to fix what didn't work in the past. So the only point that I disagree with in terms of the technical report is the idea that this is going to be so new that it's going to take a tremendous amount of work to implement. Even if that were the case, doing what right is not always easy, but it's always right. Thanks.
State Forester Doherty, Chair Imeson, members of the board. For the record, my name is Seth Barnes. I'm the Director of Forest Policy with the Oregon Forest Industries Council. I'd like to also start by thanking the department for the work up to this point. I think this is a fairly comprehensive document that you have before you, laying out some of the science. Unfortunately, it's not terribly clear, which you will find as you dig into all of this. That's the case with this bird. Anybody who spent a lot of time or any time at all really studying marbled murrelets or reading the research will find quickly that there's a lot of assumptions based on very few actual sites. I was pleased to see that you brought Dr. Rivers and that study before you here a couple of months ago. And that study is one of the, if not the leading study, certainly in the state ever done, but even across the range of the species. And I would encourage you to continue to keep an eye on that study as you work your way through this process. So this document, as I understand it, sets the stage for the remainder of the process as we go forward. And it's just, it's the science as we see it right now, right? Because more will emerge. But it's the science as we understand it right now. We look forward to working with this board, with the agency and with other stakeholders in unfolding the rest of the process and giving our input. I think one of the interesting things is there's more information than just published peer-reviewed research to come to bear. And I think the department has talked about that, doing some levels of analyses with different, you know, GIS capabilities or whatnot that could be brought to bear and informative. And I would also say that we've done some of that. As you look at, like, earlier we looked at FIA data as it pertains to carbon. Well, there's a lot that you could learn from FIA data as it pertains to potential habitat for murrelets as well. For example, we've done some analysis, and since 1995, nearly 65,000 acres per year are moving into older forest age classes across Oregon. While only 1% of forests forests over 80 years old are being harvested across the state. That's really important information as you determine, you know, what is the level of crises here and what is the proper response across the landscape. We are encouraged with many others to see that the population of murrelets appears to be stable and trending positive. We understand that there's new information that we're learning about the species flying north and south, but the best data we have about the population shows a stable and trending positive population across Oregon. That's fantastic. And furthermore, on the protocol itself, I would address that for just a moment. That is one idea, and I'm not suggesting that wouldn't be an idea to discuss and how we manage looking forward. But the idea would be how would that protocol fit with any sort of policy provision. I would hate to see this board make any sort of direction today or skip ahead in the process and not allow for a robust process with a lot of analysis or with sufficient amounts of analysis anyway and discussion around the table. I would also tell you that protocol is currently under revision. It does change. And that protocol itself there's been conversations in the past about U.S. Fish and Wildlife adopting a protocol of its own instead of having that be a third party of interested people around a board that does not report to any agency or government entity. And so I would caution the board that is an idea and that those sorts of ideas need to be fleshed out further in this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, Megan Tuttle, Bob Salinger, and Christy Kemmel.
Hello, Chair Imeson, State Forester Doherty, and Board of Foresters members. My name is Megan Tuttle. I'm with the Weyerhaeuser Company as our Environmental Affairs Manager, and we manage 1.6 million acres in Oregon. I want to thank staff for completing the Murrelet Technical Report and encourage the Board of Forestry to accept the report today. We appreciate that the report acknowledges the uncertainty of scientific information around murrelet biology, and we also appreciate the ongoing interest of Oregon Department of Forestry staff and board in the OSU College of Forestry Dean's Research Initiative. This emerging research should be used to influence future decision-making. As we've talked about before, we also should use the United States Fish and Wildlife Service 1997 Federal Recovery Plan. We want to reiterate two items related to the Federal Recovery Plan today, which you have heard me talk about before. The first is that the vast majority of murrelet sites found in Oregon are associated with the Northwest Forest Plan Late Successional Reserve Designation, which is comprised of stands that are 80 years old or greater. Second, as we've testified before, the Federal Recovery Plan acknowledges that habitat and private forest lands in particular are not the limiting factor for murrelet recovery in Oregon. And on page 85 of the plan, it says that virtually all remaining potential habitat in the Coast Range is on federal lands. In closing, we appreciate the deliberate and thoughtful approach that ODF has undertaken in producing the technical report and in acknowledging the emerging science. We encourage the board to accept the technical report as complete today, and we also want to emphasize that implementation is complicated. We need to follow a well-thought-out process involving a variety of stakeholders and appreciate that ODF has had a complete process thus far.
Chair Amson and members of the Board of Forestry, my name is Srishti Kamal, and I'm the Senior Representative for Defenders of Wildlife in Oregon. Defenders is a wildlife conservation organization that works to protect imperiled species and their habitat. And so within this broader role, our organization has been actively involved in conserving marble murrelet and its habitat in Oregon. Today, I would like to take this opportunity to urge you to accept the report today, but also add a word of concern regarding some of the conclusions and recommendations in the report and how they can be addressed in the next steps. The goal of the report is to inform the board on the science behind murrelet and summarize some of the finer issues that needs to be addressed if murrelet habitat is to be designated as special resources site on forest lands. But there are some concerns regarding the department's presentation of this information to the board. For instance, we appreciate that voluntary approaches are definitely needed in furthering conservation goals, but the report undermines the prescriptive approaches and their importance in favor of volunteer approaches. So I encourage you today to consider adopting prescriptive protections, which would provide baseline protection for nesting marble murrelets in addition to voluntary programmatic approaches to help landowners. In terms of the possible direction in site designation, my colleague had already talked about the PSG protocol, and I would just mention that we definitely do support that. We would like you to consider at least adopting that or bring it to the table for conversation in future stakeholder process. That should be at least a starting ground that we need to consider, which I think was not well weighted in the report. And finally, and related to the issue that I just mentioned, the report on one hand does not give enough importance to a scientifically derived methodology such as the PSG protocol, but on the other hand, it does take a step back in making stronger recommendations on the ground that there is not enough scientific data when it comes to population trends or the habitat use. So it feels a little like selective science. It's true that we will definitely benefit from more data, especially on habitat use and the population trends of the species, but that should not be the reason for not conserving a species that is already listed as threatened or endangered on federal and state level. New data is supposed to inform us, but the decisions that are made today has to be based on what is available now and instead of focusing on what is not. Uncertainty is an integral part of scientific research, and research is dynamic and therefore never conclusive. So when it comes to the fate of a vulnerable species like the marble murrelet, I urge you to take a precautionary approach and take the necessary steps that will ensure that the species can recover in Oregon. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Amison and members of the Commission. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. We're one of the petitioners here. We are also on the expert review panel. We appreciate the opportunity to have been involved in this process and the work of staff. Our main point today really is, it echoes Nick Cady's point, which is the report seems to make this more complicated than it needs to be. It seems to focus in on uncertainty. It makes a number of arguments that we think are really false arguments. We do see this as a relatively straightforward situation, where the state does need to protect the marble murrelet resource sites. We know from the ODFNW status review that the marble murrelet is most threatened on lands under the state's jurisdiction, that they've stabilized to some degree on federal lands, but the declines are occurring on state lands and private lands. And so it is time to take action. The argument that the science is uncertain or there are data gaps, that's certainly true, but your job is to make a decision based on the best available science, and there is a lot of science out there. There is plenty of science on which to make a decision as to how to move forward. The report spent a tremendous amount of time debating whether we should protect nest trees or survey sites or survey areas under the Pacific Seabird Protocol, which is the accepted way to survey and designate habitat in Oregon. It's unclear to us as to why it spends so much time doing that, because as the report itself notes, it's very, very hard to identify survey trees. Survey areas are also insufficient, and the Pacific Seabird Protocol speaks very clearly to this, and I'll just read this into the record. This is directly from the Pacific Seabird Protocol. Because the survey area, by definition, is continuous potential habitat, the highest classification of probable absence, presence, or occupancy among the sites within the survey area applies to the entire survey area. When one survey site encompasses the entire survey area, the outcome of the surveys at that site applies to the survey area interchangeably. In contrast, when the survey area is divided into more than one site, the outcome at those sites collectively determine the status of the survey area. For example, if a block of continuous potential habitat is divided into three contiguous survey sites, and one of those survey sites yields subcanopy detections, the entire survey area is considered occupied. And that's the key line there. If any part of that survey area has detections, subcanopy detections, the entire area should be designated. And that's because, again, it's hard to find their sites. That's because when they drop under the canopy, they don't necessarily go to the tree that they dropped in above. And we know that multiple murrelets tend to not move, nest in those areas. So We don't really understand why the report spends so much time on the nest tree and the survey site rather than the survey area. Our recommendation to you is to focus on the survey area where surveys are available, or use the precautionary approach where they're not, and go with the presumed occupied habitat until surveys are available. So again, we appreciate the work of staff on this, and we look forward to moving forward to protecting these sites. Thank you.
Could each of you let us know, bottom line, whether you think we ought to accept the technical report as complete?
Yes, we think you should accept the technical report as complete. There was a good stakeholder involvement from a variety of technical experts that were involved with it. And ODF has done a great job moving it forward and incorporating everyone's feedback.
Yes, I agree that this technical report should be accepted, but they will be determined with what the next steps and the next direction you decide to take today.
I would support accepting it with the caveat that there are several places that we actually still disagree with the report. We do think it's time to move forward, and with the caveat that I think the report leaves questions open-ended that shouldn't have been left open-ended. So it's with the caveat that we hope that you protect the survey area and the Prusnik-Seabird protocol as the way forward, and not kick that to another process. That to me is just a reason for delaying what is relatively obvious from science.
Thank you.
Chair, I thought it was great work. I'm in support of the technical report, but I guess I would encourage you to look to engage the regional forest practices advisory committees and to look at these protocols and how they might be implemented on the ground, the people actually working out there day to day, how these things could work. There's experts out there in the field that are, I think, that could provide a lot of input to this body as we begin next steps. So that would be my advice, to make sure we actively engage those regional committees that are here, that are appointed by this body to advise this body. So I would encourage you to make sure you engage those groups. Thank you.
Yeah, I just echo that, Joe. I think the report is generally well done. I think there are a few places that I would have liked to see a little bit more. Not only the Pacific Sea Group protocols incorporated more clearly, but also the presumed occupied habitat piece has been done before. It's not new. It's been done in several different studies. It would take some more work to update it. I do agree with that. But those are kind of minor niggling things that I would like to see changed, but I think we should move forward. Good job.
Any other questions or comments? The staff recommendation is that we accept the report. So is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Do we need to provide any direction for how to proceed with next step?
Well, I think we can have some discussion about that, certainly.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's been a lot of discussion about that through this process.
Right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you were planning to bring back some alternative next steps for the next decisions which the board will have to reach,
right,
which is the selection of the resource site. And while I know... I should probably put that on. Well, I know it's always nice to have easy decisions. I'm going to tell you, this is not an easy decision. It's a policy decision. So,
yes, that's correct. We would bring back a draft plan for your review and further input before we launch work on the rest of this process.
What's the timeline?
Right now, tentatively, probably looking like November, where we come back with that plan after having considered, stuff we've heard today and the decisions that look like are in front of us and how we would package that.
I think you asked about stakeholder involvement. My guess is that the board would probably want to see a fairly pretty robust involvement.
I appreciate Peter's comment that this is a policy decision, but I also am aware that there's some additional scientific information that could be used to help guide some of those policy decisions. Particularly around the three options that you have on page 32 of the report. So maybe coming back with some additional kind of deeper dives into the science for each of those would be really helpful, at least for me. So thank you.
You mentioned you'd come back with a plan in November. Are you anticipating coming back with a plan or with further discussion and fleshing out of the alternative options before us?
So what I've envisioned that looking like is taking what we've heard today and drafting up how we would address that. It wouldn't be the framework to make decisions on particular topics yet. It would still be in draft form for you guys to provide input, you know, particularly on how you would like to receive information. And we'd have a outline around how we would view that stakeholder engagement for those going forward on decision-making, but still open for input and modification based on what you guys see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much. Thanks to all of you who appeared. We will break until 1:15 and come back with agenda item 5.